The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When Peter talks about Noah and water and baptism in 1 Peter 3, what kind of baptism is he talking about? Hey, welcome to Grace in Focus, and please stay with us. A great discussion will follow. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Please join us at our website, faithalone.org, to find out more about us. We have thousands of articles there, and you can listen to our daily blogs as well as find out more about our online seminary. That's faithalone.org. Now, with today's discussion, here are Ken Yates and Bob Vincendek.
This is Ken Yates, and I'm at the annual GES conference outside of Denton, Texas, at Camp Copus. And what we're trying to do is do some of these podcasts with some of our speakers. And I have one of those speakers with me today, and I'm going to let him introduce himself.
I'm Bob Vincendek from Dallas, Texas.
There you go. But Bob is not alone. He has a couple of very special, special guests, and I had them in class just a couple hours ago, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. What's your name?
My name's Chloe.
And how old are you?
5 and a half.
Okay. And who's this person with you?
Hi, my name is Ethan, and I turn 8 June 14th.
Wow, I got to tell all of our listeners, we had the kids over for what we call VBS, I guess, and these were two of my star pupils. I was there for 1 hour. We were talking about the life of Joseph, and I got to tell you, these two, they already knew all about him. I was just wasting my time with these guys. You know, we were talking about Joseph and his life and why he's in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. And they were like, yeah, we already know all this. So hats off to Bob as their grandfather, and also
Brian and Nicole.
That's right, Brian and Nicole here as well. And it's great having you here, too, with us as well. Thank you. And thank you for being a part of the conference this year. Now, Bob spoke on a controversial passage or a misunderstood passage. Our plenary speakers are all dealing with certain passages in 1st and 2nd Peter, and Bob had one of the toughest ones, and that is in 1st Peter chapter 3, verses 19 through 22. So, Bob, why don't you tell us a little bit about this passage?
Okay, yes, it is a controversial passage. There are many, many views, but one of the most widely dispersed views of this passage has to do with baptismal regeneration. They see in verses 20 and 21, I can read this here, during the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. And so it's very clear you have the phrase saved through water and an antitype which now saves us called baptism. Well, it's very clear why you have literally millions of people who espouse the view that it's water baptism that saves you eternally.
So they look at the flood, they look at what happened at the flood, and they say what Peter is saying is that's a picture of water baptism. And as Noah was saved, we are saved, and what they mean by that is saved from hell.
Correct.
Make it into heaven if I'm baptized in water.
Yeah, they would believe that a person is redeemed at the very moment, most of them. They experience redemption, they were born again, whatever moniker you want to use, they would say that that happened at the very moment that they went down into the water and they were immersed.
And of course, okay, someone could look at these verses and say, okay, that's what I think it's saying. But of course, when we look at the rest of the Bible, we would know, you know, so many passages that say we're saved by grace through faith alone. We believe in Jesus for eternal life. So we look at that and we go, well, that can't be what Peter is meaning. I've got to have some kind of misunderstanding here. And that's basically what your presentation was talking about. Well, we know it's not talking about water baptism. So what is it talking about? What does Peter mean?
Well, Peter is really speaking of, and he even says as much in the text, if we can focus on the text, Peter's really saying The baptism he's talking about is baptism by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying not the cleansing of the outward filth of the flesh. It's not that baptism is not what I'm referring to, which I explained during the talk that that was the washings that the Pharisees did often. I gave the verse in Luke where the Pharisee was astounded when he invited Jesus to come and have dinner with him, and he didn't wash before he had dinner. And what the word is in Greek is the root word is baptizo.
He didn't. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't baptize himself before he ate. That's what Peter's saying. It's not that kind of baptism. It's not a washing. It's not a ceremonial uncleanness. It says right after that, but the answer or the realization of a good conscience toward God. That's what we're looking at here. Peter's talking about an inward spiritual reality that the ark is foreshadowing.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
The ark is foreshadowing a New Testament reality, baptism by the Holy Spirit, which places us in the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 8, and verse 11. And he's saying that the moment that a person is baptized in the Spirit, what they attain, what they realize, is a good conscience before God. They no longer, since now they are in the body of Christ, they are redeemed eternally. What he's saying is they no longer have to look at their past sins and feel a sense of guilt from those sins. Those are all gone. And now we can rely on the Spirit. Since the Greek term for baptized, we have a baptism which is now saves us. It's actually present tense, is now saving us. It's progressive deliverance. This baptism, Peter says, that I'm talking about is progressively, day after day, delivering you from a bad conscience. And the terminology that I used was maintaining moral integrity. If we go back to the passage right before 3:19, you have the passage that's all about the suffering that these people were undergoing. You have to understand the context before you get into our passage. And he's talking all about how they're suffering for righteousness' sake, verse 14. Don't be afraid of their threats. Verse 16, having a good conscience. He's saying, as you're undergoing this suffering, this persecution, this reviling, maintain a good conscience. Maintain your moral integrity. Don't make it turn you into a reviler. Don't revile back. Remember chapter 2?
Sure.
Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps, who when he was reviled, he did not revile again. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously, by whose stripes we're healed. So what we've got here is we have Peter saying, you're suffering for righteousness' sake. They're threatening you. They're defaming you, verse 16, as evildoers. They're reviling your good conduct in Christ. He says, maintain your moral integrity through the indwelling Spirit.
You know what's interesting, Bob? It's amazing when people talk about this being water baptism, but the very last word in verse 18 is Spirit, made alive by the Spirit.
Yes.
And that's exactly what you're saying.
Yes, and by the way, Ken, that theme is all through this, and especially in the divine digression Peter takes in verses 19 through 22, those four verses.
Right.
Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. It's, you know, pneuma is everywhere there. So what we've got here is Peter talking to the people about their suffering, and then he says, let's see, verse 17, it's better if it's the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And then he says, because Christ also suffered once for all for sins, just for the unjust, that he might bring you all to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. So this passage is not at all talking about the need for water baptism for eternal life. The issue here isn't eternal life at all. The issue here is people that are undergoing suffering, and they need to realize your suffering, your Savior left you an example. You have to suffer his way. You have to maintain your moral integrity. Keep that good conscience. Don't revile back in return. And of course, this is, we can have several radio shows.
Oh, absolutely we could. You mentioned Romans 8, for example, right?
Yeah. And Romans 8 is an amazing passage. So, you have the topic of the evil spirits here. They needed to know that evil spirits, Paul said in Ephesians, that the devil is the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. They are unbelievers, and he's at work at them. He says in chapter 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And he's trying to keep these suffering people, helping them keep in mind, listen, you're not wrestling against those people you can see. You're wrestling against the unseen, principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, wicked spirits in the heavenly places.
Would it be fair to summarize it kind of like this, because you mentioned Romans 8, that when we are baptized by the Spirit, we now have the means to live in a way that pleases God because he is alive. He is alive and he lives within us. And we can, like you say, this is a progressive thing. We can live this way about the walking in integrity because of what the baptism of the Spirit has done for us.
Absolutely. That's crucial to understand. In my conclusion, I talk about our baptism in the Spirit has made us dead to sin, alive to God.
Yeah.
It's united us to Christ. It's given us a good conscience regarding our past sins, and it supplies us the grace to maintain our good conscience day by day as we walk in newness of life before our adversaries.
Yeah, bingo. That makes a whole lot more sense than coming to this passage and saying, I got to get water baptized to make it into heaven. I hope none of our listeners buy that when they hear it. We really appreciate you tackling that passage for us. He shared it with all the people here. It was a big hit with me. And what he basically said is, remember grace. And that's the name of this program. Keep Grace in Focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, some news about an upcoming Old Testament commentary by the Grace Evangelical Society. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.